This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Now you got your shoe off? What are you doing?
It's like a little pebble or something there. A little pebble or something there. I can't get it up.
All right, well, while you're getting the pebble out of your shoe, we should tell everybody this is hour number three. You know what that means, right?
It's the power hour!
And as we do every Monday, we bring in Chris Canty, our good friend.
Oh, man.
CC.
Rejoice,
what
rejoice.
What up, fellas? What's happening? What's happening? It's over.
Is it?
It's over. We don't have to worry about watching the Jets or the Giants anymore this season. Football season is over. We don't have to endure that level of misery anymore.
No. All right, that part of it is true. But as far as enduring misery, if you're a Giants fan, it's half true. They announced the retirement of Dave Gettleman. Of course, that started in 2018, but let's digress. The actual story of the day isn't that he's retiring, is that Joe Judge isn't going anywhere and he's staying. I want you to do me a favor, Chris. I want you to listen to Joe Judge's opening press conference when he was introduced to New York. And everybody heard all the things he said. And count how many boxes he checked so far. Take a listen.
We're going to put a product on the field that the people of this city and region will be proud of, because this team will represent this area.
Yeah.
We will play fast. We'll play downhill. We'll play aggressive. We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes. We'll play every play like it has a history and a life of its own, with a relentless competitive attitude.
Man.
Did you any of those boxes check?
Nah, he didn't check any of those boxes, Alan. And the play that was probably the most egregious was when they were backed up in their own goal line and they decided to go consecutive quarterback sneaks. The one on third and nine when you're at the 5-yard line.
You didn't like that?
That's just inexcusable. And here's what I don't get, right? Everybody's making the defense. Well, he doesn't have his starting quarterback for the last few games, and that's why the team looks so bad.
You got Saquon Barkley.
Al, they practice every single day. You had a week to come up with the game plan. You knew Jake Fromm was your quarterback. You had a week to come up with a game plan to at least give your offense an opportunity to be competitive. And the fact that you weren't able to do that, the fact that you've gone three consecutive games to close out the season where your offense doesn't crack 200 total yards, I just don't understand why everybody continues to make excuses for Joe Judge. And then the part that really burns me up, Al, this is the part that really gets me. Jay Glazer's report that the organization doesn't want to make a change at the head coaching spot because they don't want it to be looked at as a revolving door when it comes to the head coaching job for the New York Giants, hiring and firing a third consecutive coach in a matter of 2 years. That's ridiculous. Giants, all you have to do is look at your record since 2017. You're tied with the New York Jets for the worst record in the National Football League. And here's a newsflash. Most people in New York that watch football have more confidence in the direction that the Jets are going than where the Giants are going. Let that sink in, marinate on that. That should be enough for you to make a change at the head coaching spot. There's nothing that Joe Judge has shown us in the 2 years that he's been the head coach that would say that we know he can do the job. There's nothing you can point to. This team has no identity. Now you're starting to hear reports that the guys in the locker room don't like Joe Judge. All of the post-game press conferences are nothing but coach speak and hot air. You know, you want to talk about the clown show with the Washington football team and how they got guys fighting on the sideline? Well, here's the thing. The Giants, they don't fight on the sideline. The only problem with that is they don't fight the opponent on the field either. This is ridiculous that they're continuing to do this, that Joe Judge would have an opportunity for a third season after what we've seen. And Allen, to make matters worse, I had an opportunity a few weeks ago to talk to somebody who, ironically, is interviewing for one of the general manager vacancies this week. He's already got that schedule. But I talked to him, and he said he wanted no part of the Giants' job with Joe Judge as the head coach. That's the biggest problem with retaining Joe Judge. You are now shrinking the pool of general manager candidates that would be interested in this job because they don't have confidence that that guy can actually coach in the National Football League. Now, that's a problem.
Now, do you believe that Joe Judge will play a part in a general manager search, saying he needs somebody like Adam Gase, that somebody that he can trust in a foxhole, and is that the play? Did maybe Joe Judge get more power?
That's what I'm worried
about.
By
losing his general manager, Dave Gettleman, and be able to be the resounding, strong, powerful voice saying, let me do what I need to do. I know he hasn't earned it, but does he have it?
Well, let me get this straight. What you're asking me is, a guy that hasn't proven that he can be a good head coach deserves more responsibility in the organization? Is that the question?
The question is has he convinced the owner? Because it seems like the owner really loves the coach speak and all the fire and brimstone stuff and how we're going to do this and we're going to do that. You know, he gives him the Gipper speech basically every day, and he loves it. And maybe he's thinking that, right? Maybe that's what I was saying. My fear is that he's gained a little more power and influence in that organization with Gettleman leaving.
Like Adam and Gase did.
And that would be a major concern for me.
Well, it should be a concern, Alan, and I guess you can talk yourself into anything, but you are what your record says you are. And that was the point that they made in the broadcast yesterday in the game. Bill Parcells said that when I was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and that remains to be true. Joe Judge's record over the 2 years that he's been here is not a good one. What is it, 10-23?
Yep.
Is that what you want? That's the thing that I don't understand if you're John Mara or you're Steve Tisch. Is that what you want? Because Joe Judge hasn't shown you that he can do any of the things that come along that are requisite for being a head coach in the National Football League. So I don't understand why you would have this vote of confidence for him when there's no tangible evidence that you can point to that he can actually do the job. Now you're going to give him a third season, and then you're going to hire your general manager based on that individual being amenable to you retaining Joe Judge. That just doesn't make any sense. And then when you look at the Giants from a salary cap standpoint, they're in bad shape. They got the two high draft picks. You know, it's great to have two top seven draft picks. That's all well and good. But if you don't have confidence that your coach can be a part of the process in making the right selections and then developing those players to have the impact on your franchise sustained success long term, then you got to move on. And right now, I don't know how you can say you have confidence that Joe Judge can do that.
Chris Candy joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. The Cowboys situation, though, suddenly gets interesting when you look at who they're playing right out of the gate. Bart said the 49ers are a scary team, the way they play, how they've been trending. And you basically are now going to face them at home in what you go from as the Cowboys, a team that a lot of people are talking Super Bowl to now a team that is going to face a really, really tough opponent right away in the wild card weekend. And Chris, I said this, the Cowboys are that type of team. It wouldn't shock me if they're in the Super Bowl. It wouldn't shock me if they're one and done. Do you see it the same way?
I would be surprised if this Cowboys team is one and done. I really would. And I'm not being dismissive of San Francisco. I think when you look at this matchup, they clearly have the edge when it comes to their head coach's ability to be able to devise a game plan to accentuate their strengths and minimize their weaknesses. Not to mention, we all know the mismanagement that Mike McCarthy has had when it comes to in-game decisions and particularly clock management. So I think you give the clear edge to San Francisco in that regard. But when you look at what the Dallas Cowboys were able to do against the Eagles and then what they were able to do against the Washington football team, and I get it, those are teams that are, you know, not necessarily the best. The Eagles were playing a lot of backups on Saturday. But just that team's ability to be able to get some momentum going on the offensive side of the ball, coupled with the fact that their defense is opportunistic, I really like the matchup for the Cowboys. From an X's and O's standpoint, I think their defense has some impact players that can take away some of the things that San Francisco likes to do. They can do a really good job of being able to set the edge. And we know Kyle Shanahan's offense, they pride themselves on being able to have that outside zone scheme be what their offense is built around. I think the Dallas Cowboys have the personnel to be able to take that away. And so when you couple that with the fact that their defense is tops in the league in takeaways, going against a quarterback that has shown a propensity to turn the ball over, I feel like the Cowboys will be okay in this matchup against San Francisco. I don't look at it as the Cowboys needing to be on upset alert in wild card weekend.
But does the 49ers present a style that can keep Dak Prescott on the bench? I agree with you. You know, you talk about the personnel, the matchups, and that's why this is so intriguing. Because, listen, we've put a lot of praise on Michael Parsons, and I know it won't be him all the time, but when they decide to put him down in that sink front, you know, it's going to be a tall order for him to set the edge against Kittle. You know, Kittle's one of the best in the business, and you know Floyd can attest to that yesterday because he threw him out the club and took his ID because it said McLovin and didn't have his real name on it. And then you talk about on the other side, you know, if they decide to go with Randy Gregory, you got Trent Williams over there, which is the best left tackle in all the business. How excited are you about this matchup, and do you think that, you know, you can arguably say that, you know, the Cowboys have the edge in those two matchups as far as getting to the edge?
Well, I think the Cowboys will be able to set the edge because let's not forget, you got Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence. Those two guys are good players in their own right. But then you also have Michael Parsons coming back from COVID, and you'll have Jayron Kearse available to you as well. Both of those guys are box players that have shown the ability to be able to be rangy, to be able to keep up with the skill position players at the edges of the defense. So I just feel like from that perspective, the Cowboys will be okay. It's really going to come down to whether or not they can limit the explosive plays in the passing game. And that's the big question that you have. Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, like those are two big-time threats that you're going to have to be able to account for because no matter who you have on the defensive side of the ball, those guys are going to be matchup problems. And you know Kyle Shanahan is going to put them in advantageous positions. So that would be the thing, being able to limit chunk plays through play-action passing. That would be my concern for the Cowboys defense. That's something that Dan Quinn is going to have to prepare for. If they do a good job with that, then I feel like this Cowboys defense will be in good shape to minimize what the San Francisco 49ers want to try to do on the offensive side of the ball.
Hey, Chris, if you were on the Chargers, would you be able to look Brandon Staley in the eye after that game?
Listen, I'm going to feel some kind of way about it. If I'm a player in that locker room, there's no way that Brandon Staley can justify calling the timeout after second down, Allen. It was clear to me that the Raiders were content with taking that thing to a tie and then allowing both teams to advance to the playoffs. But the fact that he took that timeout changed the mindset of that entire Raiders team. And you heard Derek Carr, you know, intimate or allude to it in the post-game press conference. You heard him. Mm-hmm. He said it changed our mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you're Brandon Staley, you took an opportunity for your team to advance to the tournament away by, I don't know if you want to call it hubris. I don't know if you want to call it one of those situations where you think you're the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. But it certainly had that air. It had that feel. And ultimately, his team ended up on the short end of things. I don't know how you justify that. And that is certainly the worst decision that we've seen in Week 18 by any football coach.
Well, going for it on 4th and 2 from your own 17 was pretty damn dumb, too. But
he went for it on 4th down in the red zone earlier in the game, and that ended up resulting into a touchdown. So you can have it both ways. Like with Brandon Staley, you're going to get some times where there are turnovers on downs, but being aggressive also puts them in position where they can score more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So it's give and take with that. And I feel you, Bart, because the analytics seem like they get in the way of making sound football decisions sometimes.
The Geek Squad.
But that timeout in overtime, that ain't had nothing to do with analytics. No. That's just a bad decision.
Yep.
So tell me this. Who's on Chris Canty's weekend, wild card weekend upset alert? If you had to pick one upset, who would you go with?
If I had to pick one upset in wild card weekend, Bart, I mean, we got a pretty good slate on wild card weekend, man. We really do. I would say this, the way that the Raiders are playing, I get it. It's a short week. They just had an overtime game, and they're going to Cincinnati. But I don't know, man. There's something about this team that just seems like the way that they're playing, nobody wants any part to them, right? And this is the first rodeo for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
Like, this is their first time in the dance. And so, Bart, you know this. There is a learning curve when it comes to adjusting to playoff-style football. The speed of the game is much faster. And so when you have teams that don't necessarily have the experience with their core group of players going to that level, you know, you have to worry about them being on upset alert. So I think that's one of the ones that you would have to circle. I also think that you got to look at that Rams team. I'm worried about what we're seeing from Matt Stafford to implode the way that they did, a 17-point lead at home with the division up for grabs. You blow that game to a division opponent. And Matt Stafford turning the ball over at the rate that he is. I mean, you saw 2 turnovers again in the second half. That's a problem for me. Like, they traded 2 first-round picks and Jared Goff to Detroit to bring over Matt Stafford because they thought he would be the difference when it came to high-level winning. And it feels like this team is in position in spite of Stafford rather than because of him. I certainly thought that Matt Stafford would be in the MVP conversation, and he just has not played up to that level. So that would be a team that I would watch. Yeah. And then, again, going up against a division opponent in the Arizona Cardinals, a team that, from a matchup standpoint, could present some problems for them, that's another upset alert that we'll have. And that's going to be on our air. That's Monday Night Football game. Yeah, that's the first Monday Night Wild Card game. So that'll be an exciting one. I actually think you got to circle that one as a prime upset candidate.
Cardinals got them right where they want them, right on the road where they play better, because they had an upset alert yesterday too. Another disappointing performance when you think about losing to Russell Wilson that jacked up the Jets draft pick. But listen, the last
time – they always play janky games though, right? The Cardinals and the Seahawks, when they get together, they never play a normal game. But here's the thing, Bart. You mentioned it. Arizona went to L.A. and walked the dog on the Rams when the Rams were coming off of that win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You remember that game?
Yeah, I do.
That was a 37-20 game, and guess what?
That was running the ball down
the game wasn't as close as the final score would indicate. So I'm just saying, like, that's not a place that they're afraid to be able to go in and play.
And the last time that the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game, you was in elementary school, and we was walking around with beepers talking about my code 304.
We were talking about that earlier, thinking about all the different pagers we might have had at that time. But yeah, that's the way it was, writing like little codes.
You was walking around with that Zach Morris phone too over there, huh?
The big brick.
I still
have my brick.
Yeah, the brick. You had the car phone that you take out of the cigarette lighter.
Listen, it was 1991.
I had that Sky Ford pager, Bart.
Listen, 1991. I wasn't affording any phone.
And he had a sidekick too.
That's that two way. He had that two way.
No. I'm talking about the sidekick car.
not the Suzuki.
I can confirm I did not. But, hey, Chris, just to bring this full circle, I just want to go back again on the Giants, because you said something that really caught my attention and a lot of people's attention. So you've talked to somebody who was going to discuss the GM position and has no interest in having Joe Judge in as the coach, right? Like, and that's going to, as you said, really thins out the amount of potential candidates you're going to have, the quality candidates you could have for this job, which is alarming if you're the Giants. You want to get somebody in there that can run an organization that knows what they're doing as far as getting this football team back on track, and you're cutting that pool like in half based on your decision to not move on from the coach, right? That's what you're hearing?
No, that's exactly what's happening, Alan. And, you know, it's one of those things that raised an eyebrow when he said it to me, and it just surprised me. Now, I will say this. Nobody from the Giants has mentioned his name, but this is based on media outlets that cover the team that floated his name as a possible candidate for the job. He's actually scheduled to interview for a GM vacancy sometime in the near future already. That's already on the books.
Right.
And he said that he didn't have any interest in being the general manager. He wouldn't have any interest in being the general manager for the Giants if Joe Judge was the head coach. That's the reality of it. So when we start talking about the prospects of the long-term future of the Giants, you have to be concerned, because the person that would be stepping into the general manager's role is not necessarily stepping in with objective eyes. They already have an agenda, which is to try to make it work with an incumbent head coach that hasn't proven that he can actually do the job. And then when it comes to the confidence that the players have in the coach being able to provide a path for success week in and week out, that has to be cause for pause too if you're John Mara and Steve Tisch, because those reports aren't coming from nowhere. This is some guys are saying we have concerns about Joe Judge. It's a lot of coach speak, and we always acknowledge it in his press conferences. And with every loss that continues to mount up, that undermines the credibility that the head coach has with the players in the locker room. It's hard for those guys to have confidence that Joe Judge is going to put them in the right spots.
CC, good stuff as always, my man. Thanks so much. Great to talk to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Bart, I don't know how we got to this place, Bart, where everybody is more optimistic about what the Jets are doing than the Giants are doing. It's a strange place to be in.
Hey, we call this the Twilight Zone, baby. Welcome.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it's one of those, you know, moments where you're just thinking to yourself, wow, the Jets are figuring it out. They're heading in the right direction.
How does Brian Flores get fired before Joe Judge? I don't even know how that's possible.
Dude beat the Patriots twice.
Twice.
And the Patriots are in the playoffs.
They had a 7-game winning streak.
Bart, how about this? Brian Flores has back-to-back winning seasons for the Dolphins. They ain't did that since Dave Wanstead. And yet Joe Judge has a job and he doesn't.
Yeah.
This is the Twilight Zone.
Brian Flores will have a job, let's be honest. Like, I can't imagine he's going to stay a free agent
for long. We got to leave it right there, though, Chris. Great to catch up with you as always. Thanks, my man.
All right, thanks, fellas.
That's Chris Candy giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. It's true, though, right? In what world do you win seven in a row, beat the Patriots twice, have two winning seasons, and you lose your job?
Yeah.
And someone else who has done none of that keeps his job.
Because, like, 3 years is the threshold.
But what he said about a GM candidate?
Well, we know that because it's an arranged marriage. Nobody wants to be in an arranged marriage with a dude that I don't want to. So now I got to try and figure out how the hell I'm going to get him fired, because most guys that are general managers have head coaches that they want to hire, have people that they have in their circle.
It's alarming, my man. It is absolutely. If you are, again, if you are a Giants fan, today is a very concerning day. All right, coming up, we'll get to your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Oh, by the way, at least the Giants and Jets lock up four of the top 10 picks in the draft.
Oh, they control the draft. They control the draft. Yeah. You want some action? You want to make
How many players in tonight's game will be Jets and Giants? How many guys are we going to watch tonight in the national championship game between Georgia and Alabama on ESPN will be Jets and Giants when we get to April? All right, we'll get to your calls. We got more of that coming up, but first, Bart's going to tell you about Granger.
Tell you what, man, the Jets and Giants need some Granger love right now. For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to products, specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop on by.
Back up.
KJM. The recipe for winning the Super Bowl is exactly what the New England Patriots do.
Separating the contenders from the pretenders.
Run the football, they play solid sound defense. Oh, and by the way, they got a pretty good damn special team.
The very latest from the National Football League. Every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let me get your calls here in a sec. So we talked about who's in the playoffs and matchups there in the NFL. How about the draft order? Let's go tankathon. Let's flip it. All right, who sucked so much will be excited in April? The Jacksonville Jaguars will go consecutive years with the number one overall pick. This time they go defense, clearly.
They've had the greatest pass rushers in history. Unique Ngakoue.
That's a great point. And they're going to get another
Fowler.
Probably. Right? They're going to get another one.
Josh Allen, now.
Detroit Lions have the number two pick.
They need.
And they're going to,
I love that St. Brown.
But if Hutchinson isn't taking one, Michigan, it's Detroit Lions. Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah.
Fits everything about Dan Campbell.
But I wonder if Hutchinson is already gone to there when they get Thibodeau, who's kind of falling out of
Well, that's the other way to go is Thibodeau. That's
but Michigan has two, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, all right, so that's that. Three Houston Texans. And still, they got to figure out what are they doing with Deshaun Watson. Then the Jets and Giants go 4 and 5. Then you have 6 of the Panthers, and then back to the Giants at 7, then Falcons at 8, Broncos at 9, and then back to the Jets, which is Seattle pick at 10. The Giants pick at 7 is Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
So the Jets and Giants have 4 picks within from 4 to 10. So it'll be a busy draft for both local teams. We know Joe Douglas will be running the Jets draft.
who will be running the Giants draft. Dave Gettleman, no longer the GM. They announced his retirement today. So that's the story there. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's grab your calls. Let's go to Chris on Long Island. Hey, Chris.
Barnhart, how's it going? Listen, you guys keep bringing up the Raiders as the upset. Like, they have some playoff experience. There's no one from their team that was in the playoffs. The one time the Raiders were in there, the car wasn't there. They got a rookie head coach. The Bengals are clearly a better team. The two upsets should be Patriots over Bills, and I don't know what you guys think, but the Eagles over the Bucks. Bucks are decimated with injuries
Eagles
right now.
Eagles over the Bucks?
That's interesting. Yeah, the Eagles.
Hey, those are the two upsets.
Eagles-Bucks is interesting on so many levels, including the one you were just talking about. They will run the ball. They will play that way. The only problem is if Brady gets ahead of you, I mean, do you trust Jalen Hurts to chase?
And Pierre Paul coming back, right? You know? Pierre Paul hasn't been there, but Pierre Paul comes back for the playoffs. I don't know if he is, but if he's coming back, and then Shaq Barrett, I believe, comes
back. What's Fournette's
back.
Situation? Do we know yet what Fournette, right?
I don't know. Like, right. But I do know that I believe that Pierre Paul is coming back. Listen, they've been playing without having their two edge setters. Shaq Barrett and you know, the young kid from Washington has been playing well, but – you know, you put Pierre Paul with all that experience that he has, man. But I tell you what, that is a hell of a matchup with him and Lane Johnson.
All right, let's take Cody in New York. Cody.
Hey, guys. I'm glad you said it earlier because I was going to say, can you imagine waking up today and Joe Judge is still a coach and Brian Flores, who has a Super Bowl defense, in my opinion, and a lackluster offense because it turns out two offensive coordinators really means you have zero offensive coordinators. He keeps winning games, and I just can't believe he's out.
It really is. I mean, again, it goes back to what Stephen Ross said and what we're hearing from reports is simply he and Chris Greer were not on the same page. They had a lot of question marks. He wanted to make changes to the coaching staff. As you know, that coaching staff, what do they have? Two quarterbacks coaches. They had two voices into his ear at one time, maybe even three at one time in his ear. He's still had a decent season.
But whose responsibility is that? Is that Flores?
Because it's the head coach.
His coaching staff. Right. Yeah. So, like, I'm sure, like, the general manager's like, we got to get some better people in here because we got to get a better offense going on.
And he doesn't want to be told what to do with his coaching staff. And there the disconnect happened. So they decided to move on without him. All right. Brody in Pennsylvania. Brody. Brody.
Oh, hey.
Yep.
So I was going to say, If the Giants get Brian Flores as their coach, then do you think anybody will follow them to New York?
Well, I mean, first of all, and Brody, thanks for the call. Joe Judge isn't going anywhere, apparently.
Yeah.
So the idea of Brian Flores coming to New York is kind of a moot point at this point.
I don't know if he would want to do that to his brother, somebody he coaching staff for, and take his job.
That's true. They do have the relationship there, but maybe bring him in together if he doesn't get a head coaching job. Mike in New Jersey, Mike.
Barton Hahn.
What's up?
Going on?
What up, you? What up?
Listen, long time listener, first time caller. So just wanted to comment quickly on my beloved Vikings. I think this was inevitable, this coaching change. Getting Zimmer out. I mean, he's a good coach, but I just think it wasn't working. And even though I think the main problem is the quarterback, but he's not going anywhere with all that bag that he got. So the thing is, I think they need to go in another direction and hopefully be able to bring in a qualified coach, either somebody from the assistant coaching ranks. Wouldn't be mad if they brought in a qualified African-American coach, but just somebody that got some good acumen and can
With that defense, think about this, Mike. With that defense, wouldn't Brian Flores be a guy that would fit there? The only problem is Kirk Cousins has all these weapons. They are such a weird team, the Vikings, because they look like they should be better than they are, and yet every week it's a 7-point game.
Well, they lost to the Cardinals by 3 points. They lose more close games than anybody you've ever seen.
What is that then? What is that? Is that execution? Is it coaching? Is it just talent? What is that?
That's coaching because they got.
I mean, they lost a lot.
They lost Thielen. Thielen and Jefferson is like a dynamic duel. Cook is a dynamic duel. You know the Darashaw kid was injured, so that really
Cousins
hurt him
just sucks on primetime.
Yeah, the Darashaw kid that really hurt him because I think he's a future great left tackle in this league. To me, I had him slated as the best pass setting tackle in the game. They're a little thin at defensive back. Right, Danielle Hunter being hurt again hurts them again. You know, Everson Griffin losing his mind.
Yeah,
they lost their pass rushers. You know, they got Dalvin Tomlinson that they got from here was a great run stuffer. I love the Kendrick brothers, the younger Kendrick brothers that plays at linebacker, and they got Anthony Barr. Like, how many more weapons and good players do you freaking need?
Right. So you're looking at it as they just got to get better coaching.
They just need a fresh start.
Yeah. It's something because when you look at Cousins and you see his numbers most of the time, he doesn't really turn it over. And you just look at them saying, how are they losing these games? And a lot of the times it's a close game. And anytime it's prime time, you just know.
He comes up small.
Yeah, comes up small in a big spot. Let's continue. Joe in New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, guys. I was thinking if Douglas and Salah should throw as much money into Flores to become the new defensive coordinator of the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know if Flores is coming off a head coach. I don't know if he comes off a head coaching job. You're going to bring somebody in that's supposed to have the same expertise that you're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Salah seems like he brought in his guys, and they're saying, hey, it was more about they started 10 rookie starters in this league, you know, more than anybody had 10 rookie starters.
They're going to have more rookies, too, if you think about it. They got a ton of draft picks.
Yeah, but they're going to bring some veteran guys in.
Well, they got money to spend.
Yeah, they got plenty of money to spend. They're going to get more. They're going to have like they have the fourth most money.
Lawson comes in, hopefully healthy this time.
Lawson Becton.
Right.
Lawson Becton.
Becton in shape, hopefully.
And maybe like they decide to keep maybe Joyner and let Marcus May go and go out in free agency and get a veteran. They need to go get Allen Robinson. That's who they got to go get. They need a true number one. Allen Robinson is not going to stay in Chicago.
What is Corey Davis then?
He's a number two. Yeah. He's always been a number. He's number two behind AJ Brown. He'll be right at home. And then you got Elijah Moore, who can be that up and comer. That when Corey Davis, you know, finishes his third year, you feel good and letting him go.
Slide
Allen Robinson is your number one, and Elijah Moore is your number two.
And you also just got to get the kid's got to spend a lot of time.
He needs to gain some weight.
Well, yeah, of course. Dude. Physically got to get stronger, but you got to spend a lot of time just understanding the game. Put him around the Mannings as much as you possibly can, right? I mean, that to me.
Well, Mannings are how we got in this situation because it started with Adam Gase and Peyton calling and saying, hey, you should take him. So I don't know if we're going to take no advice.
Maybe not.
Peyton.
All right.
We'll continue. Don't mess with the Mannings.
Continue with your call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's got a great tweet. Bart, they love us in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Love us in Cincinnati.
After the whole spat that we had when we were going Waka Flocka on them.
Love us in Cincinnati, and that's good to know. All right, we'll continue to be called, but first I want to tell you to join host Gotham Troper as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. It's a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+.
The College Football National Championship, presented by AT&T. The top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide look to repeat as national champions when they face Kirby Smart's third-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. Coverage begins today at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
For those who don't know, this is Bart Scott's favorite song. How did you know?
In the hood, this is everybody's favorite song.
How did you know?
Wait, the breakdown. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, see, if you don't know the words like Terry Crews knew the words, though. You need to learn the words.
Well, he was contractually obligated to know the words because he acted in the movie. But if anybody... So, like, all the dudes in the hood that are ashamed that you know this song, like, listen... I say all the time, the Frozen song, I know it like the back of my eye. I've heard that song a million times. My son's first word was Let It Snow.
Yeah, but when you have kids, you know all the Disney songs.
Yeah, but you know these too. You know, dudes trying to act like they so hardcore, they be knowing these little soft songs. Don't be funny.
Man, the songs you sing in your car when nobody's around and you're just like, I'm in the mood today. And you just put on something and you're like, man, if anybody heard me, listen to this.
Put some Sade on. Listen, I ain't going for a hello, boy. I listen to both versions. No, I listen to Adele and Lionel Richie.
Oh, the Adele. Hello.
I listen to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
In a quiet moment.
Hootie and the Blowfish. I only want to be with you.
The best line ding, from ding, Jerry ding, Maguire. Ding, ding. Are you Hootie? No, I am not Hootie. That's one of the best lines. Anyways, who will raise the trophy? Find out tonight. College Football Playoff National Championship presented by AT&T. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. How many Jets and Giants are playing in that game? They've got 4 picks in the top 10.
Give me the fat boy. Give me 99.
You love the nose tackle, don't you?
We need a fat boy. We need a straight-up, fat, greasy, 360-pound. We don't need to be snacks. He need to be entree. I need a dude to come here, his nickname to be Entree. Because guess what? The Jets and Giants benefited from having snacks. We want an entree.
Snacks Harrison, right?
5-course meal. Name him Trans Entree. Fat. That's tremendous. I want him to come here and name Entree.
I love it. I want him to be called Entree. If you missed any portion of the show, like moments like that one, which you can never relive, you can relive them. Find all 3 hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to your podcast. Let's go back to the Dr. Pepper call line. Let's see. Let's go to Dave. What's happening, Dave?
Hey, guys.
What up, buddy?
Hey, I heard that Mara, he's got no backbone, so he's going to let the new GM decide Joe Judge's fate. And hopefully that's Lewis Riddick, and we could bring in Rex Ryan and take 2 ESPN stars away. Hmm. And Bart, you could be the defensive coordinator because you're a star.
So, you know,
I told you that a few months ago.
Thank you, Dave. We played this game. If you took our NFL analysts, you could put a coaching staff together.
You make Dan Orlovsky the quarterback's coach?
Easily.
And
You've got Rex has been a coach, or if you wanted to make him a defensive coordinator, you could put Ryan Clark could step in as your HC, as your front man.
Yep.
RC as the HC.
Swag Goo as the D-line coach.
Please.
Damon Woody is offensive line.
Offensive line. You doing linebackers.
Who we got for receivers? Well, we got Foxworth for
cornerbacks. You have Keyshawn Johnson,
sir. Yeah, Keyshawn for receivers.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need? We got a general manager.
Mike Tannenbaum.
What else we need?
I'll be the PR guy.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy that when somebody comes to the podium, I'm like, listen, don't say this and say it this way.
I mean, we can take Peyton Manning because he's technically in the
technically,
family.
Technically, he and Eli are in the family.
Yeah, we could.
Just saying.
Yeah.
One could be a scout. Well, you know, if Peyton really could be a scout, like Peyton knows town.
Yeah, he can be the general manager.
Or president of football operations, put him above at the very top of the organization.
Yeah.
You know?
We'd be all right.
I mean, you pretty much could put together a solid. Who's our special teams? Who do we got? That's one thing we don't have. Who's special? Anybody special teams that we don't know about? Dominique Foxworth?
No. Little Legacy.
Little Legacy?
Little Tooth. Little Gat Tooth. You know what I'm talking about. Acho.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, special team guy.
Sam.
He can be the special team coach.
Sacho.
Yeah, Sacho.
Okay.
Yeah, he can be the special team coach.
No doubt. I mean, if you really think about it, you could build an entire – like if an owner just wanted to be like, you know what? All these guys think they're experts. I'm going to hire all of them.
Yeah.
And you run a franchise.
See, but this is the thing. Disney got more money than Jesus. So, well, a little bit quietly under Jesus. They got audited.
Actually, Jesus was
everything
poor.
In the world is his.
Jesus was actually
He was acting poor. You know what I mean? He was acting poor. He really got that. Just imagine if they do the expansion team, and then ESPN owns it, and then they let us run the expansion team.
Wouldn't that be fascinating? Just to see how that would work. Do you think everybody would fight? Do you think it would like it would never work because there's too many egos and too many like
We'll let RG3 be the grad assistant.
You got RG3. We'll let
McEnroy be the head of college scouting.
College scouting.
We good.
Oh, I mean, forget it.
We good.
What about Kiper running your draft?
We got Pollock. We got Desmond. No, man. Desmond Howard is the special team coach. MVP right, for Tennessee.
We're
going to
continue putting this staff together. We got a winning team. We'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.